Well, this morning we have a guest joining us by phone. Linda Betzinger McCann is joining us from her home. She is the author of her latest book, Prisoners of War in Iowa, that was just recently released. And this is the first in a number of books that Linda has published. We want to talk a little bit about this one this morning. Linda, how are you today?
I'm good. How about everybody else?
Well, very well. Thank you very much. This is called Prisoners of War in Iowa. Were people shocked when you got to talking about this topic, that there actually were prisoners of war housed here in Iowa?
Oh, definitely. I mean, even people in their 70s and 80s are shocked, which shocks me, because I grew up around Waverly, and Waverly had a POW camp. So all my life, I've heard talk about it. I know where it's located, this sort of stuff, or where it was located. So I was very shocked when I started talking about doing this book, and the people would say, what are you talking about? You know, and yeah, and again, it's something our kids need to learn about.
Yeah, absolutely. We can't ignore history close to home. We teach history from far away, but history close to home is very important to us as well. When you're
right.
doing research for this type of thing, though, we're talking like 70 years ago and more. So did you find a lot of folks that you were able to talk to that had firsthand knowledge?
I was actually surprised how many people did contact me. And down from the southwest corner was wonderful with the response. A lot of people, it was their grandparents that told them about or something like that. But again, there were a lot of people, even that had experience, that had worked with the POW, got to know them, that shared their memories. And to me, that's wonderful.
What type of memories were you looking for? Just what life was like? What were you looking for? What type of topics?
Well, I kind of, around Waverly, I believe, my impression is it was very much different than it was in other areas of the state, because the commander of the camp seemed to keep a real tight rein on it, and you got in trouble driving by the camp, if they would stop you here at Waverly and ask what your business was, and if you didn't have business there, they supposedly took your license plate and said, don't come back here again. I mean, just stuff like that. Well, down in the southwest, a guy called me and said his grandfather had POWs, and the grandfather went to pick him up one day, and there was no guard with him. And he said, what am I supposed to do? And they said, oh, just put your gun in the tractor. They're not going to run away. Well, they were picking corn, of course, by hand. So as they're picking corn, a pheasant flies up. He shot it. The POW flat cord. Well, another one flew up. He shot it. That time they asked what he was going to do with it. And he said he was going to eat them. And the POW said, oh, they'd love to have pheasants. Well, he shot several more through the day. And the next day, POWs came back to work again and had pheasants. You know, you just don't know what you're going to hear. I had people very angry about it and upset that we treated them so well, and then I had stories like that one.
Well, it's interesting to hear BKW camps. We think of it from the other side, the stories that we've heard from Germany
right.
and Japan and places like that.
Yeah.
But we don't think about it how it happened here, and it sounds like here it wasn't the same as our prisoners were treated elsewhere.
Well, that's it exactly, and that's there are people still very angry. I mean, they had fathers or grandfathers or whatever that were POWs. And they're very angry that we treated the POWs so well. Well, the people in Iowa, and I really think nationwide, made the decision they were going to operate according to the golden rule. And that was, we will treat the prisoners as we said we would when we signed the Geneva Convention. We will do exactly what we said we could do in the hope that the prisoners will write home and tell people how well they're being treated. And hopefully it will carry over to our prisoners. Well, we know it didn't, but I do think our treatment of the POWs here did help shorten the war overall.
Yeah, so it was kind of used as part of a PR campaign then, too.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. What are some of the more amazing stories that you heard? Did you hear some firsthand stories from folks who were actually prisoners, or was this all stories from folks who had knowledge of?
Yeah, this was all American citizens that worked with them, lived near the camp, you know, that sort of thing. I did not get into trying to track down POWs, you know. I'm not sure there would be any I could have firsthand experience with anyway. There are several books out written by the POWs. And, of course, I use them for history and settings and this sort of thing. And, again, it's just, it's unreal. The prisoners understood how well they were treated. And many of them brought their families back to meet people here. And there are third-generation Iowans that are corresponding with third-generation Germans and visit each other and this sort of thing, all because of the POW.
Well, and these are interesting stories that hit home because, you know, we're Iowans, we're interested in our local history, and even though this was a world war, this is our local history.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I had a guy from Clinton over on the eastern border who said he was about 10 years old when they had the POW camp in Clinton. And he said the prisoners wanted to practice their English. And so they would call the kids over to talk to them and give them a candy bar for coming. Well, one day, he said, without even thinking, he laid his gun down next to the fence. He and his friends went hunting for rabbits every day after school because that's what their families lived in. So he lays his gun down beside the fence, and this voice comes and says, pick up that gun, you SOV, or the next time I'm shooting you. You know, somebody in the tower saw that. Well, of course, he picked it up and they ran. But in the 90s, he and his wife toured Europe and had a Clinton shirt on. And he said he could not believe how many people came up to him and said, I know where Clinton, Iowa is. I was a POW there.
Interesting. The stories carry over. You've done a number of books. This isn't your first rodeo. You've done about a dozen books now so far in different aspects. Is this one of the more interesting ones that you've done?
It really is, because again, like I said, I've heard about this my entire life, and I was very shocked what I learned that I didn't know. And I guess it's because so many people don't know about it that it's been fun. That sort of thing.
You bet. Well, I know you're working on another book right now. What was that? What will that one be about?
This is going to be on the Rosie the Riveter women from Iowa. And I thought of this book several years ago, and I just didn't know how I would go about finding women and if there were any alive. Well, I was down in southeast Iowa when I overheard a lady say she was a Rosie the Riveter. And that got my attention, of course. And I asked her about this, and I asked her if she knew of any others. She knew of 22 women still living. And just yesterday, when I was speaking in New Hampton, north of Waterloo, a lady says, my grandmother was a Rosie. And so I've picked up at least five more. And again, I'm still looking for more. If I can talk to them firsthand, I'd love to. Otherwise, I have a list of questions I can send to people, maybe do a phone interview. Again, they have stories to tell that we don't know about.
Well, and time goes on, and those stories disappear if they're not put on paper.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I started out with teenage granddaughters about 10 years ago, and I was telling them these stories. And they were just kind of like, really? Well, that's what got me realizing they don't know these stories, and we've got to save them.
Sure. Well, if folks have some of these types of stories that you're looking for, how would they go about sharing those with you?
They can call me at, and I'll give a phone number, 319-239-7071.
Okay.
Or they can write me by email at, this is all one word, Lost Town of Iowa. All one word, not capitalized, @gmail.com.
All right, very good. Prisoners of War in Iowa is the title of the latest book by Linda Betzinger McCann, and we can look for those. Linda, where can we find this book and the others?
Well, my publisher is the best source, and that would be Tandem Publishing out of Des Moines, and I'll give you the phone number there. Otherwise, I am going to be in the Atlantic, Audubon area. Again, I got to look at a calendar. I'm going to be there the week of, I think it's in March. Nope, it's in April. The 8th through the 12th, I'm going to be in that area, and I'll be at Library Speak. So they should watch the paper, listen to you, and find out where I'm at just when.
So in early April, we can perhaps get a chance to visit a little bit, maybe get an autographed copy.
Right.
Excellent.
Let me give you my publisher's phone number.
Okay.
800-765-1690.
Very good.
They're in Des Moines, so they would be able to get a copy to you too.
Great. Well, we wish you the very best and look forward to seeing you here in the area in just a few months.
Right.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.